Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
As Gaelic Games edge towards full integration by 2027 under the roadmap led by the former president Mary McAleese, the process has become one of the most significant cultural shifts in Irish sport. It promises one association, one membership, but also it exposes decades-old inequalities when it comes to funding and governance and recognition between the men and women's games. Now, last month, the Steering Group on Integration published the core principles that will reshape the future of the GAA, the Camogie Association and the Ladies Gaelic Football Association. And 2027 is the target date, but frustration remains around how and when the changes will be communicated so that preparations can begin. Gemma Begley is Head of Equality and Player Relations at the Gaelic Players Association, and Gemma is on the line, and I'm joined here in the studio by Yvan Na Cuillin, who's a Fine Gael Senator and Lass Cathaoirleach of the Committee on Arts, Media, Communications and Sport. And you're both very welcome. Thank you for being with us this morning. Good to have you here. Gemma, I might come to you first, because I know you appeared before the committee last week with some of your Gaelic Players Association colleagues to update the committee on the integration process, and it was described as an opportunity rather than a problem to be solved. But the message was fairly clear at that hearing, wasn't it? You're not hearing enough about the decisions being made, and you really want the work to start on this now, don't you?
Hi, Claire. Thanks very much for having me on. And yeah, I suppose that was the key message really from the Gaelic Players Association. We went through our own integration process in 2021, and that's been nothing but positive in terms of the impact on all the players, and for the female players in particular. So I suppose we want to be positive agents for change and translate all that positivity into the ongoing integration process of the governing bodies. And I suppose just for anyone maybe not familiar with the process, it was the players that actually brought the motion to prompt this integration process. So, look, I know everyone's sort of probably heard about all the challenges and the fears, but I suppose no one's really singing from the rooftops about just how impactful this is going to be and how transformational it can be for Gaelic Games, for women in Gaelic Games, and just sort of bringing it up to speed to reflect who we are as a society as well. So. Mm-hmm. There's been plenty of time and space, I suppose, for that ongoing work about figuring out what that future direction looks like. So we're really calling now just for, you know, to start that that communication process and bringing everyone along to start make the progress a reality.
Are you concerned that that's not happening quickly enough?
I suppose, look, you have to be respectful to the process as well. We know it's very complicated. It's one of the biggest three organisations across Ireland, really. And there's complex structures across the county and provincial and national level and club level. So I suppose we haven't been party to that, the conversations that have been ongoing between the NGBs and the governing bodies. But I suppose the committee are very clear that 2027 is going to happen. So I suppose just being realistic about it, you'd need to start seeing that communication and engagement at ground level with counties and clubs starting imminently, really.
Okay. Well, so Yvan, I might get your view on that, on the timeline of this, because as Gemma says, this is really exciting, you know, and it will make a huge difference to so many people. But will it happen by 2027?
First of all, Claire, thanks for having me. I think it is a really exciting opportunity. 2027 is now rolling down the tracks quite quickly, actually, because when it was first mooted, it was 2022, and we thought, oh, maybe 5 years, you know, we have this time. But it's only a couple of years away now. So I think the concerns expressed by Gemma and others is around the granular detail that we're not hearing. So maybe the work is being done, but we're not hearing about the granular detail. So if you think about county board structures, in any given county, you'd have three county boards for the various sports. Are we going to have one county board, or are we going to have subcommittees on those county boards in relation to the different sports? Because they are different sports and they have different rules and they have different referees. There's another stakeholder, the referees. Are they going to ref all the matches across all games? That's the kind of detail that we don't have. And I think that's what's making people maybe a little bit nervous, and then also filling the void of not having the information with maybe not making things up, but creating narratives that are causing more panic. Mm-hmm. Because I think first and foremost, this is a really exciting opportunity. Like, to think about the fact that we have a blank sheet of paper. Like, if you had a blank sheet of paper to develop a national governing body for our Gaelic Games, for the biggest sport in this country, you wouldn't break it down by gender. You absolutely wouldn't. First and foremost, you would probably break it down by sport. So you'd have hurling on one side and football on the other. And then you'd start to look at the detail behind that. So I think, obviously, the various associations have been in existence for varying degrees of time. The only reason the women weren't included in the GAA in 1884 was obviously because they weren't seen as having a place there. They weren't seen as having a place on the pitch. They were seen as, you know, washing the jerseys and making the sandwiches. And that's we've come a long way from there, obviously, and thankfully. And Gemma is just an example of that. But I do think I would push back against the narrative around not including the player voice. I understand that the GPA and the inter-county player represents a very small percentage of, you know, the Gaelic Games family. But actually, those inter-county players, if you think about who they are also club players, they are also club mentors, and crucially, they are role models. Mm-hmm. So actually, they are possibly the biggest asset that the GAA has without actually, you know, any money changing hands. They are very, very influential in their communities. So I think that they have a voice that is very important. And it's not just that they're inter-county players, it's that they are role models and that they are operating in their club structures as well.
Okay, now, Gemma, just to explain to people, you know, and Ivan has alluded to it there, the Gaelic Players Association, you're not part of the process, but are things being run past your organisation? Like, what is the involvement, or where is your opportunity to feed into this integration?
Yeah, so today I suppose we've had two formal meetings with the steering group on integration. One way back at the start, I suppose, and that was very positive. I suppose that was a message we were trying to get across, is just how positive our experience of integration was, and to nearly sell that vision around one association, one constitution, one structure at county board level. So everybody's got shared responsibility and shared purpose across the four codes. And I think for the feedback we've got from that was really impactful in terms of the direction for the steering group. So we hope that's made a big impact. And we had one there recently within the last couple of months. Again, just as a boost to get some updates on it and that, and to try and further that engagement. There is ongoing communication between the GPA and the governing bodies in different forums. We have a monthly meeting with the GAA in particular, where there's a formal relationship there. So I suppose there's sort of more informal feedback loop. But we're trying to, I suppose, not just to the governing bodies, but I suppose now maybe a bit more publicly. We don't want to be talking about fears. We want to be talking about the opportunity and just how this is a wider societal message about equality of investment, recognition and opportunity for everyone in Gaelic Games. We're really strongly passionate about that. Tom referenced in his speech to the Oireachtas, I suppose that goes back to the very proclamation of Ireland about equal rights and that. So look, we'll continue to advocate for that and try and be, I suppose, thought leaders on that change process. They always say in change management, over communicate to bring people along with you as well. So we'll just try and keep, I suppose, advocating as best we can.
Yeah, I'm trying to get a handle on how this is being done, Ivan, because I know the committee that you're on, that you're Lasca Hirlach of, you did invite the integration committee to come in to see you, and then the three associations were invited in as well, and they haven't appeared, have they?
So the steering group is made up of various people from the three associations. So the way that it works is you have Mary McAleese, who is chairing the steering group, and then you have the CEOs or the DGs of each association and the presidents, and then there is a project manager as well. So it's quite a small group of people. So far we have had a few dates that have been put forward to the steering group, four dates in total since last July up until this month, and they haven't been in a position to attend those dates. I don't have the reason. Obviously, there's a lot of people involved, so whether or not they wanted to all, you know, come in as a collective and maybe didn't suit one or two people, I don't actually have that detail. Mm-hmm. I do know that at last week's meeting, we did agree another date to offer them in the coming weeks. So there will be another opportunity, a fifth opportunity, to maybe come in and have a chat about it. But I would like to say that I think it's really positive that there is so much engagement in this. So I don't think it is a negative thing coming into the Oireachtas Committee. I think it's really positive that representatives care about the process. The Minister has made it very clear that he cares about the process, and this integration is going to need an enormous amount of funding. There's no question about that, because we already don't have enough facilities.
Didn't Charlotte Burns put the figure at 500 million?
He did, but Brian Malloy put it at a very different figure. And I think that's part of the reason why we need to bring them in maybe and have a little chat about what exactly that looks like from both sides. Because if there's disagreement within the steering group, then it's probably something that needs to be broken down and looked at. And that's what I'm talking about, the granular level. Like, I'm talking about exactly that. Like, Why is it one figure from one association and another figure from another? And is it to do with facilities? Is it to do with more pitches? Is it to do with more coaches and whatever? I don't know. Like, a lot of coaches, obviously, at club level would be volunteers, but you do have ancillary services and players are given, you know, access to physio and that kind of thing when you go up the line. But I do think it's really positive that, you know, people care about this process. And I think it's really important that as a nation we take ownership of it, because it's an exciting opportunity.
And as you say, when it comes to funding, it'll be taxpayers probably who will be asked to help at least fund part of this, right?
Yeah, so a lot of the funding models now, and the Minister has been very clear on this, is around multi-sport and multi-use facilities. And if you get funding for a certain multi-use AstroPitch, for example, you do have to show that you are giving equal access to boys and girls. And that's just the way it's going to be from now on. And I think it's really positive. And it'll be the same for the League of Ireland academies when they get their money. But there is going to be a need for an awful lot of funding going forward, not just for the next couple of years until we get to integration, but going forward and just on a regular basis, you know, sports capital grants and all of that. A lot of that is going to have to be very strategic when it comes to Gaelic Games. Wouldn't it be far worse if, you know, your local community, your local club, your local representative didn't care about the process and didn't want to make sure that it was done right? Because we only get one chance at this. Mm-hmm. And as Gemma has said, this is not just about sport. It's not just about girls getting access to pitches. It's not just about, like, I used to have to change in the back of the Phoenix Park trees when I was playing Camogie up until 10 years ago. So, you know, it's not just about that. It is about a cultural shift in equality of access and equality of opportunity in our Gaelic Games and having pride in that. So it's a really exciting opportunity to be world leaders in this as well.
As you said at the beginning, you're starting with a blank page. So now is the time to work on what fills the page. And Gemma, just so that people get a sense of how this might look or how you see it looking, because there are parents listening to this who know that separation, gender separation, happens really early on. You know, you send your child into an academy on a Saturday morning and before too long the boys are split off from the girls. I mean, do you think that that's where this starts, that separation doesn't happen for years down the line? Is that a starting point?
I think, Claire, that's the granular detail, I suppose, that Yvonne was alluding to there. Probably not in the detail of yet, but I suppose just like it has to be both bottom up and top down. You see some really good practice at especially one club models. And I suppose there was reported last week about the level of investment in development pathways, coaching and games for young boys compared to young girls. I suppose that's one thing that would be very representative of the equal investment, recognition and opportunity. If you were consolidating all of them resources and education and coaches and learning and giving girls from 4, 5, 6 years of age the best opportunity, the same treatment, the same number of matches, the same number of trips away to go and play other teams, the data shows at the minute that the girls have a reduced contact time, even from when they're starting out at nursery through them development pathways. So that would be very symbolic. But I suppose also at the top level, I suppose we still have an equal treatment of our male and female players at inter-county level. So even having one charter for all players, that would be a very clear aspiration, I suppose, for ourselves. But it is, it's a complete association-wide challenge. Just how you set about, and that goes into the complexities of maybe why it's taken time, and it will take more time. It's not going to be a wave of a wand overnight and everything's sorted in 2027. Like, we understand that some things may take longer to sort of embed and develop. But certainly, as I say, from young girls to the inter-county players to women in representative roles, whether that's, you know, I don't know if there's proposed sort of quotas at county board level or national level, but I would assume that's the sort of thing that the committee is looking at to try and ensure that female voice is protected within a new association, because that's the same challenges that we faced when the players went through that integration process. So I suppose we know all the challenges and fears that the people around the table would be facing. But yeah, it goes back to for our process, I suppose it was very much values led and it was the right thing to do. It wasn't really about the finances and the resources. It was very much hearts and minds first. And that was what drove all the decisions. So hopefully, I suppose that's the same approach you'd like to see, whether it's the underage, the clubs, the county, nationally, and as an association as a whole.
And Yvonne, I know this is complex, but what is the end game here for you? What's the success look like when it comes to integration?
Well, I suppose, as Gemma has said, like, the GPA and the WGPA have already gone through this process. So they merged and it was, I mean, obviously there was a process there, but it was quite seamless. And what they have now is equal footing and equal access to services and equal access to supports. So in an ideal world, in a utopian world, I think that's what we're looking at for Gaelic Games in Ireland. And it will still be called the GAA. That decision has already been made. So in terms of branding, we're not losing anything globally, you know, as an association or as a sport. So I think the ideal scenario is that regardless of your gender, when you go into your sport at the age of four into an academy, that you have the same experience right until you finish playing in your 40s or 50s or whenever you finish playing. And, you know, I've spoken to parents of teenagers who are on maybe minor teams, and they have completely different situations and they have completely different experiences, or on development squads, for example, at county level. The boys are getting dinner after training, the boys are getting physio before training, the girls are getting nothing. So, you know, that's the kind of stuff that we need to look at. But I would be interested to know, and we talked about the granular level, I would be interested to know how many clubs in Ireland are a one club model at the moment, whether it's working and whether it's actually a one club model and everybody has that equal access to pitch slots during the week. Mm-hmm. And then the other piece is around the county boards. Has there been an audit done of attitudes, or, you know, whether or not there's reticence expressed at various county board levels, because that is where the change has to kind of start. As Gemma has said, it needs to be ground up as well, not just top down. Absolutely. And at the moment, the steering group is top down.
Yeah, and, you know, we have people getting in touch saying, we're the people doing the work on the ground. There is fantastic cohesion and equality in many clubs and counties. I ask the steering committee to please speak to the people who are doing the work day to day. And I'm sure that's happening, and we hope that we hear from them at the committee publicly before too long. Yvan Ní Chuilín, thank you very much for coming in, Fine Gael Senator, and Gemma Begley from the GPA. Coming up, we're going to hear about this new research which reveals more about the impact of vaping on the lungs. And next up, Adam Maguire on a battle royale between the exercise tracking services Strava and Garmin. That's after this quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.